for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, August the 31st, 1990. Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Praise Him, that baby would relax. And he'd relax for, you know, maybe 30 minutes, maybe 2 hours. But he wasn't relaxing at all until I said the name. Hallelujah. I can feel the anointing all over there. Hallelujah. At the very mention of that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. There's no reason why this morning we can't feel that breath of the Holy Ghost across the congregation. Where in here, how many does it say? Two or more? Well, here's two. We got more. That's all it says. Some people think you don't have a big name. I'm not against big names. I work for the biggest name of them all. And some people think if you don't have a big crowd, scripture, chapter and verse, you feel the anointing even if you're playing, see? Because as I talk, I want to tell you how. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You know why? Because even as I talk to you, you listen to me and you're singing in your heart. Jesus. How many of you are thinking that? Hallelujah. Your spirit's just singing. Something about the name. Hallelujah. There's something about that name. I want you to listen. I was born and raised on a farm. Jesus. And in the summertime when the rains would come, we'd sit out there. And, you know, you could smell rain before it ever got there. How many of you on the farm? You smell rain before it ever comes. Oh. How many of you sniffing for the latter rain? It's coming. You should be smelling it. Hallelujah. We used to sit out there and we'd think about that. That rain had come and we'd just go. The old horses, we were plowing with them. You know, they know that rain was coming too. So as you sing this, there's some of you here that have had seed planted in you. You've had seed planted in you, here and other places. And what you need is a little living water on that seed. At the lowest time in the ministry, I walked out of the back of my church, and I mean I was low. I had to jump up to touch the bottom of the bucket. And as I walked out of the back of our church, and preachers get that way too, I want you to hear me. We're people too. Remember, I said that last night. I needed fresh oil. I needed somebody to say, David, whew, freshness, newness. I walked out the back of my church, starting to the youth building, and it was an asphalt pavement out there, like out here. And I saw a piece of asphalt about that big around, and it had been lifted up. And it was a little blade of grass under it, holding it up. I looked down at that, and how many of you would go looking for something like that? I looked down at that and I said, oh my, little grass, I know how you feel. Because right now my spirit is so dry. This is going to minister to you. My spirit is so dry. I need something. I need something. I feel the weight of that piece of asphalt on you, little grass. I have that kind of weight on me right now. And I don't know how I'm able to hold that up. And that little grass, as I looked at it, just said, I'm reaching for the sun. I said, oh, thank you. I get your message, God. He said, reach for the sun, and you can carry the load. And as I looked at that little asphalt, you see, God's talking. But we're not listening. Kind of goofy for you to think of something like that. Let me tell you something. When you make progress in the kingdom of God, it's not goofy. There have been times before when men wouldn't obey and the Lord had to use donkeys. Spoke me through that piece of grass. He created that grass. You hear me? He created that grass. He created me. And as I saw that little piece of grass reaching up for the nutrient and nourishment of the sun, now the spiritual context for that was for me to reach up for the nutrients and nourishment of the S-O-N. As we sing Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Remember, I said last night, we're putting the liquid wrench on the nut and bolt, and it's going to loosen. Before you go, you're going to be limbered up, see? It's going to be uptight. You're going to be limbered up. As we sing this, there's some here. Hallelujah. You're dealing with such hurt for the past. Isaiah 43:25 says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out your iniquities for mine own sake. God spoke and said, I blot out your iniquities for my sake, for his sake. So I want you to turn loose those things of the past. They're poison. They're hurting you. But more than that, or subsequent to that, I want you to let your spirit say, and breathe in the smell of that rain. Because it's going to pour. It's going to pour. It's going to pour. God's got a little thunderstorm just for you. Hallelujah. Satan, it is written, at the very mention of that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, and that means yours. That specifically and particularly means yours. I thank you, Lord, right now that that name of Jesus wells up in the heart of the children that Brother Glenn Miller prayed for this morning. I thank you, Father, that it becomes an insatiable hunger in their spirit. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, that it becomes they have a longing for a relationship with you. And Father, that they find themselves saying, Jesus, Satan, we loose your grip. In Jesus' name, you don't have a right. You're trespassing. You don't have a right. You're trespassing. And Father, I thank you that the attempts of the enemy to come against family members that are here today, against this ministry, and against the anointing that's here, are bound in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that they just get all confused and annihilate themselves, and we just go on praising you while they do it, Father. For you're a great and mighty God. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Sing that. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for a calming in Jesus' name, a calming. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for creating an environment of reception here this morning. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering to us and through us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Thank you, ladies. God bless y'all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As long as we continue praise here, how many of you get fought when you're to offer up praise? How many of you, the devil fights you with that? Come on, you can raise your hand, it's all right. You know why? He's paranoid. He's dumb too, but he's paranoid. You see, that was his job. Diane and I were talking about this the other day. That was his job, was to lead praise and worship. And he turned his back on it. He decided he didn't want to lead praise and worship. He wanted to be the boss. So him and his cronies got new job assignments. And he gets angry when you start praising because you're doing what he had a chance to do. And you're going to receive the blessings that he had a chance to receive, but he didn't do it. He trashed them. I see some of you looking at me kind of funny. How many of you, when you were dating, you ladies had boyfriends and you gentlemen had girlfriends, and you'd break up with your friend, and you'd say, well, that's all right, I don't need them anyhow. I don't care, go on. I didn't want her anyway. She's not my type. But then Joe Bold here would look at her and he'd take her out to the Dairy Queen, and all of a sudden you wish you had what he had, because you had it and didn't appreciate it. You see what I'm talking about? And that's what Satan had that job, and he said, I'm not going to do this. I'm better than that, or I'm whatever. And then when we have a chance to enter into praise and worship, it just infuriates him. And that's why praise and worship is such a victory. Because when you begin to praise and worship and the anointing hits you, you confuse him. He just goes in little bitty circles, and the smaller the circle, the faster he goes. And it frustrates him when you praise the Father. And that's why victory comes in praise. That's why, last night we were talking about the shell that's between. It seems like our prayers hit and bounce back. You send them forth with praise, and it blows a hole in that, and it can get through to the Father. And it is anointed with a sweet fragrance when it gets there. And God says, oh, I smell that at Lake Hamilton. What a sweet sacrifice they have put on the table. And that's what we got to do. I believe the Bible says that sacrifice offers up a highway that he can come into our midst on. And that's what we need to do, is offering that highway. I use illustrations along with Scripture for a reason. Epoxy glue has more than one part. And if you use both parts, it holds tenaciously. And when I use an illustration that's particular to you, you will pair something with it. And you remember it. How many of you believe the enemy has stolen from you? The rest of you, look, he has. He has. He's robbed a stone stark blind in time. Because we're on a defensive. I remember a story about frog legs. How many of you ever eat frog legs? You know, you can cut them off that little frog, and he objects to that. No doubt you would too. But when you throw them in that grease, they'll jump out, or they'll have a fit. You know, they really go for that. But I have been told, I've never done it, but I've been told that you can take a frog and put him in a pan of water and slowly turn the fire up, very slowly, very gradually. You're going to have to get his cooperation to get him to be still for a little while. But if you bring that fire up, he becomes anesthetized to the temperature. And you can cook that dude and him sitting right there letting you do it. He that has ear, let him hear. The enemy doesn't come in and just say, I'm going to get you. He gets you suckered into setting in a pan of cool water, and he turns the heat up gradually, and you become insensitive. You become permissive to his way of doing things, and you become so anesthetized that he numbs you and in essence cooks your goose and does whatever he wants to do because you become numb to it. And then when somebody says you need deliverance, you say, no. Man, we all need deliverance. We all need deliverance. The Bible says we are born again by believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth unto salvation. What's another word for salvation? Oh my goodness, isn't that amazing? So I figure that if it'll work to keep me, to get you into heaven and out of hell is the biggest deliverance you'll ever go through. I can have people that agree with that. But I can't get them to see the same thing, and I believe it works, that confess in your heart, confess your mouth, believe in your heart, that you can be delivered from whatever you're dealing with. And you can be set free from it. That came as a total price right there. You know how they catch monkeys in the Philippines? From what I understand, never been there, never caught a monkey, matter of fact. But they tell me they take a coconut and cut the end out of it. And they bore a hole in the other end, put a rope in there and tie a knot where that rope won't come out of that hole. And they set that coconut out there and they put a peanut in there. And that monkey reaches in and gets a hold of that peanut. And he won't turn loose of it. And they just wind him right in. He that hath ear, let him hear. I'm not saying you're monkeys. We all are. I'll face and demonstrate that to you. We get caught on some little peanut idea that's just, it's nothing. We should ignore it. We should have never believed it to start with. And then the thing that got the little monkey caught was his greed. He wouldn't turn loose that peanut. It cost him his life. He that hath ears. Don't hold on to some little peanut idea and let the enemy drag you away because you're so headset on holding on to some little peanut idea. You let that thing go. You get into freedom. You get into liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't keep holding on to that little peanut. And Satan's leading many a Christian around right now because, well, you know, being filled with the Holy Ghost, well, it's not for me. How come it isn't? Healing's not for me. How come it isn't? Deliverance is not for me. How come it isn't? Because you got your hand that little coconut. You're holding on to that peanut idea, and he's got you just leading you around. You know how I know that? Because I've been there. I've been there. I remember when I got spirit-filled, I was a cost engineer. See, you didn't think I knew what I was, did you? I did. And I was in the back of a church, and Darlene had told me about being spirit-filled. And I didn't want to hear that. I had my little peanut idea, see. Oh, I said, but you know, you understand. Man, I got a good job, and I'm just not going to make a display of myself. I didn't know what hallelujah meant. I know what haleo meant. Darlene didn't go to church that day with me. She didn't backslide. God just took over. You know, God has some people out. He'll get them busy somewhere else so you can get what he's trying to give you if you really want it. And I really wanted that, but I wasn't going to tell her because that would have made her right and me wrong, see. What is that? Pride. That's all it was, stinking pride. And I had that old peanut of pride holding on to it, getting led around. We was in a church of about 250, and I was sitting back there, and we began to sing hallelujah. I stood up and was singing hallelujah, and I just, in my own little religious world back there, having a good time, and all of a sudden, he poured it on me. Oh, did he ever. And here I am back there, a professional person now. We stink, don't we? We stink. I'm back there, a big professional person. Oh, how God ought to be honored that I was praising him. Is that not a religious spirit? Oh, I was sickening. And all of a sudden that warm oil came down on me and I began to worship him in a language that I'd never heard and never been taught. Didn't know what I was saying, but oh, it sounded good. And I had always said, Lord, how many of you ever bargained with God? I tried to bargain with God. You know, I won't be spirit-filled, but don't embarrass me. I'm a professional man. Don't embarrass me, God. I see them doing all that stuff. I don't want to do that. I want to be spirit-filled. I want to mumble something where I can say I got it. First of all, the Holy Spirit's not it.
Amen.
He's a paraclete. He's a comforter. He's an advisor. He's a healer. He's a teacher. He's not an it. It's a him. He's a personality. You can talk with him. You can fellowship with him. You can love him and he'll love you. He'll talk to you if you'll listen. And about that time that I became cognizant of what was going on, 249 people had sat down. Guess who number 250 was? And I just praying up a storm back there. Right then, I didn't care about my job. I didn't care about my position. I didn't care who saw me because I have the Holy Ghost fresh oil all over me. Hallelujah. Praise God. And when I got set free from that religious spirit, I got set free from that pride, I got set free from that thing that said, David, don't do that. Your daddy won't be proud of you. Or your neighbor will see you. Well, I tell you what, how many ever see a nitroglycerin bottle? That you put heart medicine in? That's what that is. You know what's in there? Heart medicine. It's oil. That's heart medicine. Hallelujah. And I believe in anointing with oil. But I believe it's symbolic of the Holy Ghost. I believe we can put so much oil in you, you'll slide out of your seat. I've seen people that have been anointed so much, and they prayed, laid hands on as much, and wear half the hair off their head, and they still don't get what they're after. You know why? They want God to do what they're asking their way. You know how many ways God does things? Three ways. His way, and if you don't like that, he'll do it his way. See, he gives you a choice. God is very democratic about it. He does it his way, or his way. You can pick any one of the three you want. But that's the way it's going to come about. You hear? That's exactly how it's going to work. Is he going to do it his way? Otherwise, it won't be right. Amen. It won't be. I was going to talk this morning about discerning of spirits. How many of you have a, a concordance? Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's good. That concordance can tell you some stuff. I heard a man one time say there's strong for the strong, crude for the crude, young for the young. So get you one of some kind. You'll fit somewhere in there. But the concordance is a good thing to have. It'll teach you that there are so many different kinds of, well, for example, there's four kinds of love. Philo, agape, storge, and eros. And we have love in the upper room. We're a hugging ministry with God's permission. We hug, but we don't hug. And when somebody comes in here that doesn't know the difference in a hug and a hug, it ain't long till they learn that difference. Because the love of the Lord will set you free. And we are to love our brother and our sister in the Lord. And we're to help them any way that we can. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, 11 through the 13th verse, I was supposed to give you that scripture there before I said anything else. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 11, and it's the 11th through the 13th verse. I usually minister out of the Bible I study in. I have several different Bibles, but I'll minister out of the one I study in. And I have some of them marked up. This one isn't. I studied in it, so bear with me if I stumble a little bit. 1 Corinthians 11. I'm sorry. Yeah, 11. 1 Corinthians 2. My goodness, I'm having a great day. I didn't take off on the wrong foot, did I? Chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. We'll get there. We are getting there. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But the Spirit judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For whom hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now there's three spirits in there. One is the spirit of man, one is the spirit of God, and one is the spirit of the world. And you deal with those all within yourself from time to time. They're transferable. The power of agreement is one of the things. What's one reason it's so powerful is that we come into one mind and one accord. We get into what's going on, and we get in agreement. Now, if we think about the spirit of the world, that is cosmos, and that's order. That's the way the world works. Romans 12 and 2 says, and be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Now, if you're conformed to this world, you're not going to prove that. You won't know it if you're conformed to the world. But you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to learn to think like God thinks. You have to get the mind of Christ on things. And that means you don't do what you feel like you want to do. You do what the Spirit instructs you to do. Because He judges those things after the Spirit. And the things of the Spirit are foolishness to man. Darlene and I, the Lord spoke to Darlene and I a few years ago. We needed to make some financial adjustments. What I'm telling you was in debt. Y'all ever been in debt? Now, the world tells you to get out of debt by working overtime, getting another job, working two jobs. I've done all that. I'm like a salesman car. I'm a relatively new model, but I got a lot of miles on me. And it was because I did things the world's way until the Lord renewed my mind by the Word. Luke 6 and 38 says, given and shall be given. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom. It'll be pressed down and shaken together, running over. Shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet, it shall be met again unto you. If you really knew that it would be returned to you with the same measure that you gave it, would you be happy or would you be sad? Because, you know, when Jesus saw the widow give the two mites, he said, she's given more than you all. I used to have trouble with that. How could two mites be more than all those rich people were given? Because she stepped out and dared to believe his word. Her mind had been renewed. When your mind is renewed, you begin to think differently. You begin to function differently. What you think determines how you feel, and that determines how you act. You hear me? And if you think on the things of God, you begin to believe those things of God. You begin to act out those things of God. I can demonstrate that to you. I know our time's running short, and I can't help that. In 1 Kings, when Elijah came to the widow, and he came to her, we were talking about this the other night at church. He came to her, and he said, you know, when he left the creek had dried up, and the ravens had stopped delivering lunch. We still got ravens, too. I want you to understand that there's still ravens. God still got them on dispatch. They're still bringing meals right on time. Hallelujah. They'll do it every time on time if you stay where God told you to stay, do what he told you to do, and remember he told you the truth, and he'll send them to you. So he told her, I said, you get up and go on over here to Zarephath, and said, I'll have a lady there, a widow there, and when he walked there, he saw that lady. Now, what was she doing? She was gathering sticks. For what? To build a fire to make her last meal. Make her last meal. She said, this is it. Me and Junior are going to die. We're going to starve to death. We're going to use all the oil and all the meal, and then we're going to die. Now here comes a man of God, and what does he do? He what? She hit it on the head. He wants that meal that lady's got. He said, you go fix that, but you fix me one first. Boy, you better know that's a man of God. Because there's a lot of heartless scamps that'll have you fix your last meal and give to them, and they say, Lord bless you. What you gonna do now? That's why we need discerning of spirits, people. You need to know that it's a man of God that says, prepare for me that meal, and the Lord will prepare for you one that's everlasting. That's why. He told her, said, I want you to fix me that meal. She obeyed. Then, listen to me. When the prophet spoke, faith rose up. You hear me? When the man of God spoke, I don't think she really realized that it was her faith. She was just minding it. At that point, I mean, what difference is one meal going to make, you know? Really. I mean, you're down to the wire. How many ever been down to the wire? Man, I have. I had a friend that was in the ministry in evangelism. He said we were dead broke. And said my car was on E. He said, God, that means enough. Then the Lord said, it means empty. Pull into that gas station. So he pulled in. He said he had to stop and get gas. I was being facetious. He told me many times that he meant enough. But at that time, he knew he was out, so he had to pull in there. And he said, God, I don't have money to buy the gas to store in my car. The Lord told him to gas it up, that he would have a person pay for it. Man of God. You say, well, if he was a man of faith, he might have had money. He might have given all his money away. He's that kind of guy. You see, if you have your needs met, what do you need money for? Your mind's getting renewed with that statement. Your mind's getting renewed. If you walk in divine healing, why do you need money for medical attention? Huh? You see, there's no condemnation to what I'm saying. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore not no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. So there's no condemnation to what I'm saying to you. But what I am saying is that when God tells you to do something, do it. And when you discern that you're dealing with a prophet of God, not just some charismatic person with a charismatic personality, because you do, you got man religion. And man religion will not fill the bill. It may make you feel good, it may look good, smell good, act good, but it is not good. Back to my gas story. That man pulled in that gas station, gassed his car up, and I'm not saying go down here to the gas station and pull in there either, unless God tells you to do that. That man pulled in there, and when he got through, a fellow walked up and said, you're a preacher, aren't you? He said, yes, Sam, I got your gas. How many of you have ever seen someone in a building that you knew they were ministers. Never seen them before in your life. Never said a word to them. But when you walk by them, something went. That doesn't mean, I don't mean he had sign of trouble. I mean you sniffed in the spirit that there was a sweet fragrance about him. I don't care if he had on Bermuda shorts and flip-flops. The anointing is not in how man dresses. The anointing is not enough. As we talked about that last night. Y'all were here last night. But it's that sweet spiritual fragrance that's on that person. And you know. You know when you walk by there, hey, that's a preacher. I had a lady ask me in an elementary school yesterday. She said, you're a preacher, aren't you? I said, why? I want to know why. Because I want to know if she picked that up, if I had enough sweet savor about me that she said, that's a man of God. Now, back to the widow. She cooked that meal as Elijah had instructed her to. She knew that he was a man of God. She obeyed. As she obeyed him, everything, he said, you know, I say to you that you'll not run out of meal nor oil. Because he had told Ahab there wasn't going to be any rain for a while too. So he was aware. He had a weather report for the next 3 years. No rain. Huh? No rain. So he told her, said, no matter how long this drought lasts, you'll have meal and you'll have oil. And your barrel will never run dry. He didn't say before that it wouldn't run dry. Now, we get worried when it ain't full. You can't eat it all anyway. Why you need it full? God doesn't mind it being full, but don't panic. Because he said he'd supply all you need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And this lady went ahead and did what he said, and then she perceived that he was a man of God. Don't know, hey, this old boy, he's doing it right. Now, the enemy did not let that rest there, did he? What happened? Her son died. You remember that? And it just shattered her faith right then. She went to him and she said, oh man of God, what have I done? What do I deserve? What have I done that you would take the only precious thing I have? Is it that my past sins are being visited on me? Now who do you think was talking to her? Was the Lord talking to her? No, and you lie. And she just had an excellent experience with the power of God, and that thing came on her and said, he has caused your son to die. He has caused your most precious thing to be taken away from you. And you call that God? Was he a prophet? What did he say? Did he panic? I don't think so. He didn't kill her if he did. He's not given the spirit of fear, but the power of love and of a sound mind. He didn't go crazy. He didn't get scared. He said, let me have the boy. If he hadn't been a prophet, he would have said, well, yep, you're right, ma'am, that boy's dead. I hate it. You know, all I could do was tell you to fix the meal because I was hungry. He said, hand me the boy. What did he do with that boy? He took him to his prayer closet. He took him to his room. He got away from disbelief. He moved away. She was saying the boy's dead. He didn't say anything. He said, give me the boy. And he took him to his, Elijah's room, where he had prayed, where he had communed with the Lord, where he knew that the power of God was. That resurrection power. And I'm saying this to get some of you to understand that there are areas in your life that by Monday are going to be resurrected, and you're going to experience life in some areas that you've been stolen from. That you have had taken away. The quickness has been taken out of it. The fervor has been taken out of it. The expectancy has been taken out of it. He took that little boy to his room. And I want you to understand, he took him to his room. He took him to his prayer closet. But what you ask for in secret, see, and do in secret, the Father will reward you for openly. And he lay down on that little boy three times. And he said, Father, raise this boy up. Let his spirit return to him. And it did. It happened. He took that little boy out and gave him back to his mother. And she said, surely, thou art a man of God. I don't think she ever doubted that again. Now, some of us have had similar things happen. We've had... Forcing, praise the Lord forever and ever and evermore. I've been given three glorious sons. I don't have a minute's trouble out of them. I haven't had yet, and I'm believing for none in the future. But we have had family members that have been assassinated in the spirit realm. And that's a good term, too. They've been assassinated in the spirit realm. They've sat in that pan of water, and it's been heated up until their nerve endings have been anesthetized, and the enemy has taken away their spiritual life. And there have been, from time to time, men of God that said, let me have that boy, let me have that child, let me have that husband, let me have that wife, let me have that mother, let me... But sometimes people refuse to turn loose of that child. No, you can't have him. No, you can't have him. And sometimes the people operate in total disbelief. You're going to get what you believe. If you don't believe God's going to do it, guess what? You won't get it. I get up every day. I walk every day. I do simple functions like touching my nose every day. I praise Him for it. I praise Him for it. The discerning of spirits, in Luke 5:22, Jesus discerned the spirits of the scribes and Pharisees. He knew what they were. He was operating in Him. You didn't fool Him. You didn't mess with Him. I want you to know something. You can go to a ministry place, a church if you want to call it that or whatever. There are many people that sit under a minister that has a charismatic personality. You hear me? And I'm all for charismatic personalities. I would that I had one. But I'm going to be what God made me to be. He made me David Akers. He didn't make me somebody else. And if He wanted somebody else, He'd have made me. He would have. God could make Tim if He wanted him, of whoever the great names are. But He won't want me. Now, what He's going to do with me, wait and see. But He wanted one of me. And we've got people with charismatic personalities and people that follow the people with charismatic personalities, and they're ricocheting off the wall. They're sucking empty air out of the ozone. Just literally out here somewhere in space, just in orbit. Their feet are not on ground. They don't have any solid foundation. They're just out here, just ricocheting out here. And they come and get together and get, I call it wild. I want you to understand that you can get anointed of the Davidic worship is going to be returned in church. You hear me? It's going to be returned. We're going to dance for the Lord. Hallelujah. But somebody, and by and large, you can watch somebody that is reckless in the physical realm, reckless in the spirit realm, too. They'll tear your house up in the physical realm, they'll tear it up in the spirit realm. And we got people that operate out there. And you say, well, they're not going to affect me. I beg your pardon. Words of imprecation can affect you. And people that try to play their will on you are using witchcraft. You hear me? And ministers that are in the pulpit and people sitting in their congregations playing their will on them are using witchcraft. That's exactly what they're doing. They're saying, I want him to speak against rock music. I don't want him to speak against Nintendo, as we talked about last night. It was very informative to me. We don't want him to speak against this, that, or another. And they play and actually jam his circuit. And he sat up here saying, well, I'm charismatic personality. They come there, well, because they have itching ears and he scratches them. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I don't care how charismatic he is or how dull he is. There may come a time when someone takes the Word of God and stands behind a pulpit and reads very slowly the Word of God. And the power can fall in that place, whether he is loud, and I get excited, and that's when I do, I get loud. And I know that. You wouldn't believe when I first started ministering. Starting, you say, David, they can't hear you on the first row. You know why? Because I made a mistake that a lot of other young ministers did. I tried to be somebody else. God didn't need somebody else. He made him one. We got what an awesome God we serve. We got to understand, you know, he said, let there be light, and there was light. I mean, he didn't have to call AT&L and have it hooked up. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Period. And he said, let there be breath, and there was breath. We got to understand the God we serve. Our problem is, we get caught off on this thing. I remember when they asked Jesus to come for Lazarus. And he'd been in the grave 4 days, and their tradition spirit was around for 3 days. That's why they asked Jesus, why, if you come sooner, you could do something. But he's been dead 4 days, and he's thinking. You know what the word says? See, he's thinking. He's been dead too long. Too long for Jesus. There was a man in Orange, Texas, got born again at 84 years old, and they baptized him in a river. And when he walked out of that river, he went to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the living God forevermore. 84 years he walked in darkness. 84 years he walked without the Lord. 84 years he hadn't done the things that you and I had done. And be careful lest you get jealous, because he's got to wake up and God saved him at the last minute. That's what's wrong with the Christians. They haven't got pure enough yet to want to tell you the world. Their mind has not been transformed. It's still conformed to the world. And they say, well, he did that, and he did that, and he did that. I want to tell you something. It's by grace and mercy that any of us are saved. There's not a chair in here that holds a body that deserves it. You didn't do anything to deserve it. I was in working in a large ministry, and had a television ministry that went in over 50 countries. We went to work one night, a fella, and it was 30 minutes before the cameras came on. Coy Barker was ministering that night, and this man stood up and looked at me, and he went, oh. And he went to be with the Lord right there. Right there. 1,500 people in there, and he was gone just like that. Coy Barker ministered. The cameras were set such that you did not see the medics working with him. I had medical help to him in 2 minutes and 38 seconds. I set the record to see that I had done all I could do. Coy ministered with them doing CPR on that man just behind the camera. And the Spirit of the Lord moved so sweetly there. See, that man had gone where we want to go. Where better to launch from than a Holy Ghost service? No, man, he was doing great. Where some who's who ministers were there, and I was amused that they didn't have him on a platform. They had him sitting out in the audience. A man of God was behind the pulpit. And all of a sudden, I was put in a worship position with my face down on the floor. And I got down there. I didn't have any choice. If you'll obey God, if you say, God, do with me what you want to do with me, he's liable to put you in a worship position in the middle of the highway. But if he puts you there, there won't be an automobile hit you. You got to hear the word of the Lord. We were in a worship position like that, and I tried to get up, and I couldn't get my head up. I didn't want to get up. I was nosy, okay? I'll tell you the truth. I wondered what was going on. I couldn't see. I was down like that, praying in the Spirit. And I got up just enough to see that another guy had been put in the same position. And the Word of the Lord was coming forth so strong, you could just feel it. Just kind of going, just kind of waves of it, you know? And I was wanting to get out there in the wave. And all of a sudden, there was a demon-possessed girl screaming. I mean, there was no doubt when she screamed that there was one leaving the service. And just right behind her was a minister that I wondered why I wasn't on the platform. He was sitting right behind. God had put him in that chair. And when that girl screamed, he laid hands on her. And about the time she screamed, another one screamed, and another same minister was sitting right behind her. God had it all worked out. You see what's happened there? Because they were obedient to the Spirit of God. They were able to discern that God had instructed them to sit here or sit there. God cares what church you go to. God cares where you sit. God cares who you associate with. God cares that you're able to discern both good and evil spirits. Isn't that what the Word says? To discern both good and evil spirits. I prophesy to you that the gift of the discerning of spirits, both good and bad, is being returned to the congregation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are people that come into the upper room ministry from time to time, and I know when they walk in, they are not to be there unless they change. If you're not in the flow with that ministry and you don't want to change, then you can find a minister that's in the flow with what you're doing. They go from just right all the way down. So just anything goes. If the body of the so-called body, because I tell you what, the body of Christ has discernment. It does. If a person ordains a homosexual as a minister, that's not the Spirit of God. They're doing it. And not only are they doing it, they're putting it on national television to say, we did it. A person can be delivered from that spirit. Why didn't that church operate enough power of the Holy Ghost to set that person free? And then if they were to call, be called in the ministry, let them go and change what used to be their crutch into a club where you can beat the devil with what he beat you with. Take it back in and skin him with it. But you've got to know that you cannot tolerate that kind of misconduct, and you're in a sad shape when you voted in to stand behind your pulpit. The Bible says, like people, like priests. They're a weak minister, or a promiscuous minister, or a minister that lets the world come in, you're not going to grow any higher than he does unless you really seek God. I'm going to tell you. Because he put, and God honors authority. There is a hierarchy, there is a chain of command, and God says, obey that chain of command. And if you're going to set, I would suggest to you that the Bible says he places the solitary in families, Psalm 68:8, I believe it is, said he places the solitary in families in a rebellious dwell in a dry land. You didn't choose your mom and daddy, did you? How many of you here picked your mom and daddy? No, you didn't. God gave them to you. He put you with that man and that woman. And whether they carried out their job with you or not, that's not for me to say. But you shouldn't choose your church either. God should tell you which church to go to. When I say choose it, you shouldn't get the phone book and say, well, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, I think to this one I will go. That's really a way to pick a church. No. And not just because a church has 6,000 or 8,000 people in it, that doesn't mean it's a good church either. Dead flesh draws flies. And you do not. We got a little saying at the church. How many of you know what a pump mill is? Ever been to a pump? Oh, praise the Lord. When you go to a pump mill at a paper mill, how many of you know that sweet fragrance that comes from a paper mill? Oh, it's lovely. It smells like money. Smell like ham. Whew. Oh, Doc, I tell you, it's probably never cooked me a ham and they smell like that. I'm going to eat cereal. But hey, you're right. When you come, I want you to understand, you don't have to play in a sewer dish to smell like it. You can play around it. And you'll stink like it. I used to go in that pump mill, and when I'd go in there, all the smoke in there stunk. But after 30 minutes, they didn't stink. You know why? Somebody tell me why. Go ahead, you ain't gonna hurt my feelings. He told me, and the truth will set you free. He said, you got the smelling just like them. And I did. I got the smelling just like them. Well, my dad-in-law used to come home. My mother-in-law meet him at the door, and she'd say, don't come in. Change in a washroom. And here's clothes you change out there, and you come in and hit the bathtub. Some of us, from time to time, have been that way spiritually. Over people's eyes. Not if they have discerning of spirit. You're not fooling them. Who are you fooling? Yourself. That's the only one you're fooling. You're fooling yourself, and that's all. If we can follow that charismatic personality, we can be led anywhere. Another thing is, how many know control spirits operate in churches?
Amen. Amen.
That is probably one of the toughest ones we run into. People will try to control that minister by pouting. They'll withhold their tithes and say, I just won't finance this place. And when it goes under, he'll know how childish can you get. If God calls you to that ministry, he's still got ravens. And that minister will stay. As a matter of fact, if you can explain how it survived, you probably, God didn't do it anyway, more than likely. We don't, the upper room just survives supernaturally because we're giving out the Word of God. We keep our mind on ministering the Word of God. We keep our mind on giving, and it says, give and it shall be given. And that's what we do. We are not conformed to the world, but we're transformed by renewing of our mind to the ways and things of God. And we need that discerning of spirits, both good and evil, because if you have someone in there that's controlling you, you need to know that they're doing that. And if necessary, you need to confront them with it. There are people, I went in a church here a while back, and I was out there looking, and it had beautiful green carpet on it. And boy, and I said, man, this is so nice. I was just awed by it. I said, why did y'all, it had pastel green walls and mint green carpet and little green cushions on the benches and all that thing. I said, why did y'all choose green? We always see red in church, it's symbolic of the blood. Why did y'all choose green? He said, well, the man that built this church, you know his name?
Green.
Do I need to tell you he was on the board? He owned that board. The Spirit of the Lord can move in that church without getting Mr. Green's permission. There are people that you rely on heavily that will swell up at you from time to time. They hurt that ministry. But God, if they will hear from the Lord, he'll knock the starch out of their shirt. They'll get about the business for the Father. We are to do the Father's business. There are times when I minister on things that really, I'd rather minister on something else. But God didn't ask me what I wanted to minister on. He told me what he wanted me to minister. And that's what I've got to do. Because we stop after a service. We critique these sermons. We say, well, I didn't give enough word. I gave too much word. I told a joke. I shouldn't have told it. Who do you think's trying to tell you all that stuff? Satan. He's trying to. Have you ever ministered, brother, and after service, you really feel like going and hitting yourself or something? And you know what I found out? I found out that usually that's when you've done the very best. Why? Because we're weighing it in the Shaharabasandra. God's gonna use you in a mighty way. You're gonna get to where it don't matter what them folks think. Because when you walk out, you're gonna see that old trash. You're gonna back them up when I'm gone. That's what we're to do. We're to set them free. We're to see them take off that old garment, that old filth of the world. Take it off and leave it right there. Let it stay. You don't need it. Man, it's not doing anything to weight you down anyway. You know, when we can come into the praise of the Father, that sweet offers up. How many even know what a target grade is? See, I try to look for things that keep people on their toes. And it's tough to stay ahead of this upper room bunch. They push me. I have to stay up late and get up early to stay ahead of them. Hallelujah. Thank God for them. I tell you what, a congregation will do that for you is a blessing. And there are times that we just sit around talking. They teach me. Pastor, I don't know whether we have any here or not. If you're a pastor and you can't learn from people, you need help. You've got to have a teachable spirit. Pastor is not the same thing as genius. It's not the same as just full of knowledge either. It's just another time for a man that's supposedly, hopefully, called of God and can be taught by people. Are you hearing me? That they can teach them. We need that thing. There's a little thing called a tardigrade. T-A-R-D-I-G-R-A-D-E. It's a little bitty insect or microscopic being or whatever, and it can live for hundreds of years in a hematite environment in a dry piece of dirt. And then when you put water on it, it comes back to life. There's something here for you. What's supposed to flow out of our innermost being? Rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you have been a tardigrade, a once living organism for the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden you've gone into a slut clot called the First Church of Who Did It down by your house, and you stay right there in that dirt clot in a coma, and somebody comes by and pours living water on that dirt clot, and hallelujah, the whole place comes alive. All of a sudden you think, well, what was different about that old boy? Was the way he combed his hair? Was the car he drove? Oh, no, it wasn't that. No, it couldn't be that. He was ugly, too. He was anointed. That's what did it. The anointing is what brought life. Right there. In Isaiah 10:27, it says, the anointing breaks the yoke. In the Spanish Bible, it says it rots the yoke. I like that rot better. If you break something, Brother Green, it's wood. You can take Elmer's and put it back together. But if it rots it, it's in a million pieces. And you can't put it back together. You can't even find it all. And we want that kind of anointing that rots that yoke. We want that kind of anointing that rots that addiction to pornography to where you can't find it anymore. And it can't harness you down. We want that kind of anointing that rots that yoke of greed off of you and you can't find it anymore. We want that kind of anointing that rots that spirit of lethargy on you and you can't find it anymore. We want that kind of anointing that rots that spirit of spiritual ignorance and spiritual unteachableness and rots it and it can't be established again. You have to unlearn what you learn. You got to break that harness. That's what the anointing will do. The discerning of spirits will help you to know when you're around a person that's trying to saddle you with something and when you're around a man of God that can deliver you from it. God did not save you just to be saved. Are you hearing me? He saved you to get others saved. He didn't deliver you just so you can say, well, I'm delivered. He delivered you so you can bring deliverance to others. Don't just say, he gives you water that you can give others to drink of it. If somebody hadn't given you a drink, you'd still be dry too. But we've been taught we have to get loose from that old spirit of greed and that little peanut idea that we're being held with over here. You don't remember that peanut idea. You mark what I say. I prophesy that. There's going to be things that come up and you're going to understand that it's a peanut. God is separating the precious from the vile. He's calling forth a church that dares to believe this from Genesis to Amen. True revelation. All the way through revelation. I heard about a minister that went to pray for a man at church, at the hospital, a man in his church, and the man's Bible should have been this thick, was about that thick. The minister asked him, said, what's wrong with your Bible, brother? He said, I just tore out what you don't believe. I just read it, and when you don't believe it, I just tear it out. And it got down to about that much. We've got to be taught the Bible from beginning to end. I want that Davidic worship returned to the church. I do. Man, I remember the first time I was in a spirit-filled service. Quite an experience. And it went against everything I had ever been taught. But it changed every fiber in my body. Folks, God's not way out here somewhere. He's right there. Now, I want you to understand now, there's a New Age teaching that most of the people said there never was a God when they were atheists. Now they say they are God. Now, that's quite a change. It is. And they make it sound so good, make it sound so right, but they're not rightly dividing this word. And unless you have the discerning of spirits, you may buy a load of that. You hear me? You may buy a load of it. Does the Bible not say we're the salt of the earth? What does salt do? Preserved? It's part of a fertilizer? It heals? I've had salt that had a healing agent. It enhances the taste of something. How many of us enhance the taste of the gospel to people? Do we? How many of us are fertilizers that causes growth to come forth? Huh? How many of us offer something to people that they have not had, and that we are qualified to do that within ourselves, not in your best years? You're only qualified as that anointing rests on you. We sing a song several times, it's like, "Your mantle falls on me." Have you ever heard that song? Have you ever heard the song, "Holding Nothing"? Holding Nothing. We'll close with that song, "Holding Nothing." Wasn't that neat the way I gave our praise worship team a cue? You like that? I hope they love me for that, because I usually just surprise them. But that, in our life, we always try to hold back a little something. I was reading the other day about signs and wonders in the church, and a man said the only sign in the church now was the restroom, and the only wonder was wonder when the preacher's going to quit preaching so we can go home. That's pathetic, but that's the truth. There's no deliverance. There's no healing. There's not real rich word coming forth. And I'm not picking on church. See, I want you to understand that. I am for church of the living God, regardless of what name's on the sign. I don't care whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, or whatever. Most of the things that we disagree on are little things there where you can't solidly prove yours and they can't solidly prove theirs. You may be convinced of it, but that doesn't make it true. When I was in college, I was going with there was a senator's son in our class, and we had a business professor that was teaching us, and the little guy was used to extremely special treatment in the community because his dad was a senator. You know, senators are men too. One that wears 8 1/2 to wear my shoes, or 9. That little guy said, Dr. Dunn, our professor, said, "There are laws in business." He said, "There are laws." And he said, "They govern how things work in business." That little boy said, "There's not any law that can't be repealed." He said, "You're in here, I'm teaching you something that you'll never forget." He said, "Are you sure that there's not a law that can't be repealed?" He said, "I'm sure." He said, "Are you real sure?" He said, "I'm real sure." He said, "You have your daddy repeal the law of gravity and then walk out this window." We were on the third floor. He said, "Son, there's some things you can't repeal." And I got to thinking about that. God's law, do you hear me? They're not repealed. They're disobeyed, but they're not repealed. They're not repealed. And God is not slack as men count slackness. And I want you to know, when He has something in there, when He tells you that you can have the gifts of the Holy Ghost, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gifts of faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse tongues, and interpretation of those tongues, He means you can have them. And they are not to be repealed. They can be abused, misused, and ignored or disobeyed, but not repealed. And He's not a respecter of persons. He'll do it for you. In that discerning of spirit, we need to watch who our playmates are. We do. We need to watch where. I want to tell you something. I believe that whenever you're around someone, you get something and or get something. If you're around a person with the flu, what do you usually get? Flu. And there are people that are spiritually anemic. You need to pray protection. You need to have discerning of spirits enough to know what you're going into, both in and out of ministry. And please remember, preachers are people too. They need your prayers, not your condemnation. They need your prayers. And they don't need you to bounce up there to them and load on them. Love them. Pray for them. I heard Brother Hagin say one time, he was in a meeting, and the Lord had given him a word, a word of prophecy. And he said, "Lord, do you want me to get it?" And he said, "No. Sit on it. Hold it. Hold it. He's in authority. And he's not ready. He's not grown enough to accept what you've done. You'll be back, and you'll have another time at another point in time." The transfer of spirit, because I'm letting my time get away from it, the transfer of spirit, if I were to come up here and start laughing, if I did not say a word, I don't have time to do it, it's a good demonstration, but if I were not say a word, just come up here and just start laughing, and I can do that, all I got to do is think about yesterday. Coming up here, that was funny. But I can start laughing, and you'll start laughing, he'll start laughing, you'll start laughing, he'll start laughing, you'll start laughing. Then everybody in here just laughs, and it just builds up and builds up and builds up. And then somebody after service says, "Why are we laughing?" He was. Well, why is he laughing? Because he was. 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 They don't know why. Why do you believe what you believe? Because he said he did. Why is he? Because he said he did. Why is he? Because he told him he did. Why do you? Because he told you you did. You see what I'm saying? We've got to have that discerning in there to know that, and I'm talking about self-discernment too. You know whose acts we're supposed to clean up? You know the best way to get cancer out of the body of Christ? Worry about getting yourself healed. I read in a book here, it's called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, and that's one of the best books I have ever read. That is a good book. It has a chapter on leprosy. And when I read that chapter, the Lord said, "David said there's some churches that have leprosy." I said, "Oh, how you mean that?" He said, "Because leprosy, so they can get a splinter in their foot and they don't know they got it in there. It's infected, but they don't feel it. And they just keep walking on it and they lose their foot. Then they lose their leg. And because of insensitivity, no discernment of the spirit of that splinter in their foot." You hear what I'm saying? I want you to understand, for every physical sense we have, there's a spiritual sense that's with it. Does not the Bible say, "Taste the good word of God"? Does it not say, "He that hath ear, let him hear"? Does it not say, "He that hath eye, let him see"? Does it not say that to smell the sweet fragrance of God? See, there's your five senses right there. Does it say not to touch of the Master's hand? You see, those physical senses are manifest in that spirit too. We've got to discern those things and use them. You know, what would happen if you held your nose and ate lunch? You wouldn't taste your food. You really wouldn't. You wouldn't taste it. And some of us do that in the ministry of the Word. We hold our nose. We never get the sweet taste. We never get the salt that's on there. We never get the sweet fragrance of that food to us. Well, today, this song of holding nothing, they'll sing it for you once and you can hold on to it. I mean, hold on to it. Boy, I'm telling you, hold nothing. Let me back up here again. Back up, pun. I think I dropped the ball, Brother Van. Holding nothing, and you'll get a hold of it like that, huh? You hold on to that. You'll discern that. But in your life, you'll see that you're standing there with things and you're holding on to them. The glass that we look through is dark anyway. It's what the Word says. We look through the glass darkly. But we put smut and stuff on it. God's going to wash it off. And He's going to tell you, as you sing it, you're going to sing, "Holding nothing, holding nothing. All I am and all I have I give to Thee." And as you sing that, you're going to feel some of those things you've been holding on to. You're going to release them. We're going to try to assist you in releasing things that have held you hostage. How many of us would like to be a hostage? None of us would. So we're going to release those things that are holding us hostage. Bring every thought into captivity. Cast down every evil imagination. Be not soon shaken in mind, either by letter, by word, or by spirit. For those things that can be shaken shall be shaken, so that those that remain will be those that cannot be shaken. And we, God is calling forth a community, a church of which we're each block, that cannot be shaken by the world, that cannot be shaken by Saudi Arabia, cannot be shaken by Iraq, cannot be shaken by the presidency in this country. We need to pray for them and shake them with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And we can do it by holding nothing. Just think, with it in love. The anointing is going to be crisp in here as you do that. Hallelujah. As the Lord leads you, just stand to your feet and raise your hands to Him. Got the words now. Let them get down in your spirit. And even today, I prophesy to you that there's going to be some of you walking around today singing, holy nothing, all I am and all I have I give to you. Holy nothing, all I am I give to you, to you. See, you give that. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to listen to those words and let them get inside your spirit and let them become live to you. We want you changed, not just stirred. We want you to know that the Lord God loves you, and we want Him to know that you're not going to hold anything back from Him. We want Him to know that you say, Father, all I have I give to you for you to choose to use. And people, quit worrying about you choosing and you using. Give it to Him to choose to use. He'll choose it at the right time. He'll choose the right thing, and you'll do it God's way and have God's results. As you sing holding up, there's some of you here that it may take you a minute. The anointing is like a cleaner that goes on brass. You put it on it now and you just walk off and leave it, and you come back and that brass is clean because that cleaner has been working on it while you've been gone. And we think we're the only thing that can rub it off. I want to tell you something, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. So please, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But the thief comes not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So you turn loose of everything that belongs to the thief. Let him have no right to come looking for anything at your residence. And tell the Lord, I'm holding nothing. Holding nothing. Hallelujah, receiving Jesus. Quietly to the Lord is a personal message to Him, as though you were whispering in His ear. There you are.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.